I actually got started with Indigenous Defense Across Borders because I know Audrey Huntley and have volunteered for No More Silence on several occasions. We talk a lot about like looking at the work of Indigenous land defense, decolonization, in my work as a union rep. So I'm very interested in like decolonial activities, not only in the labor movement, but in wider society. Did a lot of organizing during Autonomous War, that kind of thing. Have been really active in stuff going on my reserve, which included the Justice for John Stiers after the recent decision that came down in which a white man was acquitted of murdering a member from our reserve. So I've been doing a lot of that kind of thing for, you know, years. And so Audrey was like, hey, I'm really interested in bringing a group of people to do this exchange with Palestinians in Palestine who are trying to do resistance work. And because she knows my political analysis and all of that, we thought that I would be a good fit. And then my daughter, who is a student at McMaster, she is still an undergrad in Indigenous Studies and Gender Studies. My daughter has been very active in Palestinian support and the BDS movement in her school. During the town hall that Trudeau did last year at McMaster, she and her comrades made a banner that said, from Six Nations to Palestine, colonization is a crime, and hung it behind the prime minister. So we all decided that, you know what, in understanding settler colonialism and how you deal with it, it's really important to like look at what other people are doing around those issues, right? So Palestine's a perfect place right now because the colonial project there is relatively new. It's only been, I guess, 60 years at this point. And so it's really interesting to look at what's going on there and draw the parallels to the colonization of North America. I really do feel that we as Indigenous people have a lot to offer Palestinians in trying to figure out a way to resist the ongoing settler colonialization of their land, because that kind of colonization is not just about land, it's also about culture and how a country operates. There's a lot of things that we know that happened to us that we can watch happen to the Palestinians as well.
Tell me more about how this project got started, where it came from.
Audrey was approached specifically by Linda Taber and Chani Desai, who are kind of like our Palestinian counterparts. Chani, she's a prof now at U of T. She's been very active in the BDS movement and also around organizing disparate groups of people in order to have the linkages between North America and Palestine. So she was one of the people who was really, really instrumental in going, we should do this. We should be looking at exchanges in a way of having kind of an exchange, right? Specifically from an Indigenous feminist lens. We didn't want to come in with a group of people with the colonized approach to going on a trip to Palestine with all of its like overtones of religious stuff and things like that. But we wanted people who were going to be looking at the colonial realities. And Chani knew Audrey, who is the head of No More Silence, and approached her. So then Audrey was like, let's think about people to take. So I believe the way that they got the trip organized was we got a grant so that we could send not only myself and Audrey and my daughter, but also Doreen Silversmith, who is a longtime land defender, not only at Six Nations, but other struggles around the country, and who also is a organizer and what I call counselor at Camp Sis, which is a traditional encampment for Indigenous women who are fleeing abuse. We really wanted to center women's realities under settler colonialism as our focus, so that when we went to Palestine and Israel, we could see like the intersection of these things and what's going on with these various groups and how to build the links. We've got a kind of a paralleled history here around how do you deal with complete dispossession, not only of your land, but also what happens to you in the wake of that and your culture. And how do you hold on to your culture, your sense of yourself as a nation, and all of those things. So we really wanted to focus our attention on that kind of situation where you've got a group of women talking to other women about how do we resist and not only resist the settler colonial state, but like the incursions onto your traditional values and cultural practices.
And expand a bit for listeners on what it means to be thinking through all of these questions, specifically with an Indigenous feminist lens.
Well, I think that in a lot of ways, it also forced us to look at the history of our own colonization. I mean, for a lot of us in Indian country, we are very practiced at understanding our own histories We wanted to really look at it from almost like a practical, pragmatic way. Like, what happens to people? We can give you some ideas of what happened and is continuing to happen to us so that maybe you can recognize this. Because once we were in Palestine and heard some of the stories that were going on, I turned to Doreen at one point and said, this is like us in the 1840s. What's happening to them with the concerted land grabs, the constant surveillance, the limiting of services is something that happened to us. And then we started to look at settler colonialism kind of has a playbook. It has similar tactics around the world, and it's really important for people who have undergone that to be able to talk to people who are having it now so that they know what to look out for. But also, because our work is around defense of Indigenous women, because we are so tied to the land, we wanted to see what the experience for Palestinian women has been. But given that they come out of mostly a patriarchal tradition, how has that impacted them? I come from a point of privilege in a lot of ways because Haudenosaunee people are matriarchal. So we have always had the women be the leaders of our resistance and our resurgence. And it's kind of a different way of looking at things. So I think that part of the focus was also to see that, yes, women can lead and women have ideas that actually might be useful because settler colonialism does not expect women to be in the lead. Settler colonialism is very patriarchal in its approach. So we really want to look at what's the alternatives to that, because it's going to take alternatives in order to fight back. Because it's kind of like judo, you don't want to bring more violence down on you. Is there a way that we can talk about these issues that are nonviolent, number one, and also look at a different way of reframing the struggle? So we just really wanted the focus to be on an Indigenous feminist framework that's kind of like as natural as breathing to Haudenosaunee people, which me, my daughter, and Doreen are. Audrey's not. Audrey's part Cree. So her framework is a little different, but she is a very staunch feminist as well. So it was a really interesting experience in order to bring how we do things and how our resistance is built at Six Nations and other Haudenosaunee territories and try and show people that there is an alternative to business as usual. So we really wanted to like really look at all these things. Like, how do we change the narrative on the oppression that happens because of settler colonialism? I mean, it sounds really abstract, but when you actually start talking to people and finding out what they were up to, the kinds of things that they were doing and the kinds of tactics and struggles that they had, it was really interesting to apply that Indigenous feminist lens and say, you know, well, what did you try this? What about that? So it was really fun to look at it from a different point of view.
When did the trip happen?
We went the week of July 9th of this year. We only went for a week, basically, because that's all we could afford. But we also thought that this would give us time to go into a lot of what's happening on the ground in Palestine. So we were in Ramallah. We stayed there for 3 days. We also journeyed up and through the Jordan Valley and down into Jericho. And then after that, we went up to Haifa and Acre. And at one point on the Wednesday, we were able to go to Al-Halil. And I have to say that day was really hard because we also visited the sites of several recent home demolitions.
And to clarify for listeners, these are instances where the Israeli state destroys the homes of Palestinians under a range of pretexts as part of the settler colonial process.
And for me, as a Haudenosaunee citizen, I was really reminded of the kinds of things that happened to us in the late 1700s and the early 1800s. When we were purposely burned out of our territory by the Sullivan campaign that the Americans did, and then later on by settlers here in Canada who would come and encroach on our territory by chopping down all of our trees, raiding our cornfields and killing people. I always tell people that, and most Canadians are like, what? That didn't happen. But we have really good records at Six Nations, and there are several instances where settlers came onto our territory and burned us out and burned our homes. So this idea of encroachment by burning down or otherwise eliminating or obliterating the Indigenous presence is a constant feature of settler colonialism. When you're confronted with how these things work and you watch them and you see this sort of thing in your own history, that's when I really realized settler colonialism uses the same tactics. These are constant common tactics of how a settler colonial project happens. That was, for me, the concrete evidence of things that I have known personally, but also had been thinking and talking about with a lot of my friends and comrades. And that was actually kind of revelatory. The under,